Garlic is not just an ingredient. It is not just something you chop up and toss into a meal. It is something that can weave its way through your life in ways that make you feel more connected, more capable, and more confident in your ability to care for yourself, for your animals, and for your land. They do not want you to know any of this. Why? Because garlic is so easy to grow. Garlic is multi-purpose, and they cannot sell it to you. Let's talk about something that always sparks debate: garlic and dogs. Dogs cannot have garlic. It is toxic. That is one of the biggest lies. You haven't actually read the study. Hello, and welcome back to the Gubba Homestead Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. I discuss everything from homesteading to prepping and everything in between. Today, we are going to be diving into the magical powers of garlic, not just as something you cook with, not just something you throw into a recipe for flavor, but as one of the most underrated tools you can have in your home or on your homestead and in your daily life. I absolutely love garlic, and I think you need to know all of this, because once you start looking at garlic differently, once you start understanding what it actually does and how it has been used for generations, you begin to realize this is not just food. This is something that shows up in animal care, in food preservation, in resilience, natural pest control, and even how you support your body and your environment without relying on a cabinet full of toxic products. And just a reminder, they cannot patent garlic, so they do not want you to know what I am about to share with you about garlic. This is one of those episodes that might completely change the way you look at something you already have sitting in your kitchen right now, something you grew up with and you only used it to cook with. And before we get into this episode, I want to thank the sponsor of my podcast, which is my small skincare business, Arvati. Arvati began with one tallow balm I made my dad when he was suffering from eczema, and now it has grown into something that helps thousands of people looking for cleaner, truly nourishing skincare. If you are wanting to upgrade your skincare routine and get away from harsh conventional products, you can explore my small batch made tallow balms, cleansers, serums, and goat milk soaps at Arvati.com, and let's dive in. So I personally used to think of garlic as just another ingredient you toss into a pan to make dinner taste better. But when you slow down and actually look at how it has been used across generations, across cultures even, and especially in a homestead setting, again, you can homestead from anywhere, it starts to feel less like a food and more like a tool, not a trendy tool, not something packaged up and sold back to you with a label full of claims and chemicals, but something simple that has always been there, almost waiting for you to remember what it can do. What I find interesting and amazing is that this information that we are returning to is something that is embedded in our roots. So our great, great, great grandparents knew about this knowledge. And then somewhere along the lines, the system snuck in and started polluting this inherent knowledge. We had grocery stores popping up. So then our ancestors didn't feel like they had to do gardens. And then we had big pharma rollout. So then our ancestors didn't feel like they had to make their medicines anymore. And the medicines that they were making were labeled quackery. And something as simple as garlic has been forgotten about, and it's just been put in the kitchen as something you toss into your food. On my homestead, garlic is not just something sitting in a basket in the kitchen. It is something that moves through everything I do. It touches the way I cook, the way I care for my animals, the way that I approach problems that most people immediately look to a product or a prescription to solve. And I'm not blaming anybody for that. That is the system that we grew up in. We've been disconnected. And we have forgotten about simple solutions like garlic. And I cannot drive this home enough. They can't patent natural things like garlic, so they want this information to dissolve into nothingness and for us to forget what these simple things, these God-given creations, can be used for. When you start living this way, you begin to see patterns. You notice that many of the answers people are searching for are not hidden in complicated systems, but in things that have been overlooked because they are too simple to be marketed. Like garlic, it's one of those things that has quietly remained constant while everything else around it has become more complex, more processed, and more disconnected from its original purpose. And I don't know about you, maybe some of you listening, but I did not realize for the longest time how disconnected I was to my surroundings. The other day, I shared on my Instagram story my skin before tallow and my skin after tallow. And I recalled how when I went into a professional for my skin issues, they gave me an antibiotic and a fluid retention medication, also used to treat high blood pressure, for my skin. And I just took that as truth. I took that as, oh, this person knows what I need. I was disconnected from myself and what I actually needed. But good news is, you can reconnect to your roots. You can reconnect to what your great-grandparents were doing. You can reconnect to what feels right. And it feels right to me now to take things into my own hands as natural as possible, as simple as possible, because we've been led astray to think everything needs a complex solution. And when you start paying attention, you realize something as simple as garlic has always been there in the background of survival, healing, preservation, resilience, like I mentioned, and it shows up in those old kitchen traditions, in those wartime remedies, farming practices, and the cultures that understood the value of keeping life simple and functional. It is one of those rare things that bridges food and function so seamlessly that people just never stop to question how much garlic can actually do for us. Let's talk about something that always sparks debate and is an incredibly heated topic, and that is garlic in dogs. This is one of those topics where fear has completely overshadowed it. You will hear people say that garlic is toxic to dogs, and that is where the conversation usually ends. We don't give it to them, don't do that. But what rarely gets discussed is the context of dosage, form, and how it is actually used. So there was a study years ago where dogs were given extremely high amounts of garlic extract, far beyond what any reasonable person would ever feed their dogs. The results showed mild changes in blood markers, but the dogs did not become clinically ill. They did not develop anemia, and they returned to baseline once the garlic was removed. So that part tends to get skipped, and it creates a blanket of fear that does not reflect how garlic has actually been used traditionally, even for our dogs, our pets. So on my homestead, garlic is something I use thoughtfully with my dogs, and dosage is where everything matters. It actually is a bit insane to me how people approach this with so much fear. But again, I get it, and I'm not blaming anybody because it has been instilled into pet owners. Dogs cannot have garlic. It is toxic. That is one of the biggest lies. It is such a lie. And whenever I share this, people are like, well, I work in a vet office and I know this. And you haven't actually read the study. You haven't gone and looked at the study. It's almost as if, now call me a conspiracy theorist, Big Pharma put out this study knowing 99.9999% of people are not going to read it. They're not going to touch it. They're not going to even look at it. They're just going to trust whatever is told to them. Again, they're outsourcing their thinking. We keep coming back to this. And so when their vet, this ultimate source of knowledge that they are outsourcing to, says, yep, don't give your dogs garlic, but you can give them this pesticide instead. Do not read the insert. Don't read other people's stories about how many animals have died taking this. Just trust us. Garlic is the bad thing. So yes, dogs can have garlic. Of course, every pet is individual, and I dive into this on my Feeding Raw Food to Your Pets podcast episode. And also, I have a specific How to Treat Your Dog Naturally for Pests episode, so you can check those out for a more in-depth look at those subjects. But here on my homestead, I use a lot of garlic, specifically with my dogs. A general guideline that has worked well in traditional use is about a quarter of a clove for small dogs under 10 pounds and half a clove for dogs around 20 to 30 pounds and up to one full clove for larger dogs over 50 pounds, given a few times per week rather than every single day for maintenance. But when it is in the height season, so I'm about to be heading into that right now with summer peak season, ticks, all the pests, I will amp up slowly to daily for garlic. And then when peak season is over, I go back down. So it's a constant maintenance thing I do, and I adjust based on the season. I always try to crush or mince the garlic and let it sit for about 10 minutes before, if I have time, before adding it to the food, because that allows the allicin to develop, which is one of the key compounds people are actually after. It is not about force feeding large amounts of garlic. It is about small, intentional use that supports rather than overwhelms the system. And what I have seen on my own homestead is that when garlic is used in this way, it can support dogs in ways that people are not expecting. I was never expecting it. So garlics contain sulfur compounds like the allicin, and after digestion, these compounds are released through the skin. So they create a scent profile that pests like fleas, ticks, whatever else you have going on, do not love. So it becomes a part of a natural pest management approach rather than relying solely on chemical toxic treatments that often come with long lists of warnings and side effects. Beyond that, many people use garlic for supporting the immune function, circulation, and overall vitality. When it is used properly and in appropriate amounts, it becomes part of a bigger picture rather than a single solution. I just take the garlic and I will put it into burger or a chunk of meat, and they happily take it. Isn't it amazing how that works? They have us convinced that we have to give actual pesticides with huge lists of side effects. Like, just go read the inserts. Just read the inserts. It's that simple. And I read an insert on one of them last summer when I was looking a little further into this, and it talked about how they tested on beagles. And I just thought that was disgusting. I mean, I think it's all disgusting. I would literally never willingly give my dog a pesticide when I could just give them something natural that works with their body, not against. Now let's shift to something that feels more personal, because this is where garlic really showed me what it could do in a real dire situation that mattered. So if you have ever dealt with mastitis in goats or your livestock, you know how stressful it can be. It is not just about the milk, it is about the health of the animal, the discomfort they are in, and the pressure you feel to fix it quickly. So mastitis is the infection of the udder, and one of my goats, she got mastitis. There was a recent rain spell, and so I think the moisture, something got her feeling down because it was sunny, 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 and then all of a sudden it got really cold. It was a cold snap with rain, and I think that might have just triggered something. And one morning I went out, I always go let my goats out, and she was just standing there and did not want to come out of the goat house, didn't want to move, and was just staring. And usually she charges right on out and says like, oh no, something's wrong. So I got her out so she could go and forage, and I just kept an eye, and she was uncomfortable. Her ears were droopy. She seemed bothered, but she was still eating. And I was like, okay, something's going on. When I got her on the stanchion later that day, I noticed that one side of her udder was a little more swollen. And when I tried to milk, the texture of her udder was different as well. So when you're handling an animal day in and day out, you get used to how they feel, how they're looking, their mannerisms. And so I could tell when her udder was not milking easily that something was wrong. When the milk was coming out stringy and spotty, I knew immediately I have mastitis on my hands. And so mastitis can quickly spread throughout the system and become a severe infection for the entire animal and can actually kill them. So I knew I had to hop on this right away. And what is suggested is to go down to the farm store, get antibiotics and get other medicines. And I was like, okay, this isn't completely dire at the moment, considering she's still foraging and eating. So I ensured that she got completely milked out, and she has her kids. She has four little baby goats who are absolutely adorable, and I utilized them to help me milk out that udder. I could tell she was uncomfortable when I was milking, so I let the kids do a majority of the work, and I switched over to twice a day milking. And then each time I started giving her chopped up garlic. So I gave her two cloves a day for 3 days, and guess what? Her mastitis disappeared. She is all better. And so for those days, if I did milk anything out just to check where the milk was at, if it's still stringy, that means you're actually just milking out the pus of the infection. I felt so bad for her, but I'm happy I had the kids around to help milk out and it was more comfortable. I kept an eye on her energy. I kept an eye on her eating, and I just kept an eye on how comfortable she was in the stanchion. But seriously, 3 days of twice a day garlic cloves and she was back to completely normal. She has no infection. Her udder's back to normal. I was a bit worried because with mastitis, it can permanently damage the part of the udder. So either they won't give milk there again or they will give less milk. My neighbors actually had a cow where one of the quarters on her udder did not milk because she had gotten mastitis. And then once that happens and it's so bad, it can become permanently damaged. But I did not want to lose my goat. I was most worried about that. I am happy to report, though, she is perfectly good and her milk is back to normal and she is producing still tons of milk, so no damage. And I didn't have to use any antibiotics or any funky medicine where I wouldn't have been able to drink her milk for a period of time. And to be honest, my animals have not received any medications in so long. The only ones who have received medications are the ones who came from different farms, but the generations that I have raised here have not received anything and they are incredibly resilient. Interesting how that works. So again, it was not instant, and that is something people need to understand when they step into this kind of approach with things. It was steady, it was consistent, like she was slowly getting better, and it required attention and care. And what I saw was a recovery that felt supported rather than forced. You know, I'm not injecting you with something, I'm giving you something natural. And that experience just built a level of trust in garlic that no secondhand story ever could. So when you witness something like that on your own homestead, it changes how you look at the tools you have available to you. And I completely understand if people feel there are instances where it is necessary to use big interventions from the farm store. I try to avoid that as much as possible because I eat the products from my animals and I don't want to be eating or consuming any funky secondhand things. Another way that garlic has become part of my homestead system is through a simple garlic spray for the garden and even around the animal areas. So this is one of those things that feels almost too simple, but once you use it, you understand why it has been passed down for so long. So to make a garlic spray, I take an entire bulb of garlic, crush it or blend the cloves and steep them in about 1 quart of warm water for 24 hours. And after that, I strain it well and dilute it into about 1 gallon of water. And sometimes I add a few drops of my natural soap that I make to help it adhere to plant leaves. Seriously, this is so cool. I'm back in the garden and using this right now. So this spray can be applied to plants to help deter pests because those sulfur compounds create an environment that insects do not prefer. It is not about wiping everything out. It is about just discouraging damage while allowing your garden to remain a part of a living ecosystem. You can spray it on leaves, around the base of plants, and even near areas where animals tend to attract pests. So like, think chicken coop boxes. It becomes another layer of protection that does not disrupt everything else you are trying to build. There is also a deeper layer to this, and that is how garlic interacts with the soil in the system you are building. So when you rely on something like garlic instead of harsh chemicals, you are allowing beneficial organisms to continue doing their work while managing the imbalances that can lead to the problem. So that is something I think we have lost sight of in modern systems. The idea that balance is more powerful than control. And again, this is where the system has crept in and has convinced us that we need toxic pesticides sprayed. We need the glyphosate. We need all these fertilizers. We can make compost, which can become a natural fertilizer. We can make this garlic spray, which is a natural pesticide and is not going to pollute the soil for years to come. Side note, something so interesting that happened to me 2 weeks ago. I had an Amish family into my garden because the mom might be using my garden. She's in the middle of a move, lives nearby. So she came over and we chatted all things gardening. And what I found so interesting is she suggested for me to use this harsh chemical fertilizer, like toxic stuff. And she swore by it because it helped her garden flourish. And I was completely taken aback because the mainstream narrative is that Amish are supernatural. They don't have any vaccines and they're so healthy and yada, yada, yada. But then here I am being told, yep, chemicals, that's the way to go. Increases the yield. So I see why farmers have that argument of, well, increases the yield, increases more food for us to use chemicals. But then the other side of it is you are permanently damaging the soil. Not only that, how much of that is getting absorbed into the food you are then consuming and then absorbed into your body and then just passing into the next generations? Here on my homestead, I'm doing things completely natural. So no chemical fertilizers in my garden. But I found that so interesting. And I think it was my mom I called after and I was like, oh, you're not going to believe this. Like, you think that you have this stereotype of how a certain people live their life. But when I was being suggested this chemical fertilizer and where to get it, I was like, what? But then you see the side that people like to say, well, it increases the yield. But at what cost? I think our health is never worth the cost of an increased yield. Anyways, just a side story of happenings at the homestead. We did discuss garlic, and she didn't use any of the fertilizer for garlic. This was a suggestion for my raspberries, blackberries, and strawberries, and even fruit trees. So basically everything, but not the garlic, surprisingly. Maybe it was because I said that I used my animal compost for the fertilizer there. But another aspect of garlic that people rarely talk about in depth is fermentation. And this is where garlic transforms into something entirely different. So fermented garlic in honey has become a staple on my homestead. So not just because it tastes incredible, but because of how it supports the body in a way that feels sustainable and it's gentle. Making it is simple, but there are a few important steps that matter if you want to do it right to make this honey fermented garlic. So I take a clean glass jar and fill it about halfway with peeled garlic cloves. Then I pour raw honey from my bees over the cloves until they are fully submerged. So these are peeled cloves. And then I leave some space at the top because fermentation will create movement and expansion. So for the first 1 or 2 weeks, I open the jar daily to release pressure and gently stir and flip it up and down so everything stays coated. This prevents any exposure to air and keeps the process moving evenly. And over time, the honey becomes thinner as it draws out moisture from the garlic, and the garlic softens and develops a deep, mellow flavor. And after about 3 weeks to 4 weeks, it's ready for use, although it will continue to develop over time. And what you end up with is something that combines the natural enzymes and properties of raw honey with the sulfur compounds and beneficial elements of garlic. So people often use fermented garlic honey to support immune function, especially during seasonal shifts when the body is more vulnerable. It is also commonly used to soothe the throat, soothe respiratory health, and provide a gentle antimicrobial effect without the harshness that can come from the more aggressive approaches. It is also something that supports digestion in a way that feels balanced, especially for people who find raw garlic too intense. And it is pretty intense. Take a bite of raw garlic. Woo! So on my homestead, it has become something that I reach for regularly. I love fermented garlic honey because it stores well and it fits into daily life without becoming a chore. So that is something I always look for in anything I use. If it is not sustainable, it will not last. And I don't know about you, I need easy, I need simple. And there is another unique use for garlic that I have come to appreciate more and more over time. And it is something that feels almost forgotten, even though it used to be incredibly common, and that is using garlic as a natural tool for respiratory support in your home environment. So most people think of garlic as something you eat, right? But historically, it was also something people used in the air around them. So especially during times when sickness was spreading through communities, those seasonal shifts. If you go back and look at older practices, people would hang garlic in their homes, crush it and leave it out, or even incorporate it into steam. So the reasoning behind this comes back to those same compounds we have talked about throughout this episode. So when garlic is crushed, it releases those volatile sulfur compounds into the air. You can smell it. And those compounds do not just disappear. They exist in the ether, in the space. And people believed and still believe that this helped create an environment that was less favorable for illness to spread. And it smells good to me, I think, at least. I love the smell of garlic. So on my homestead, this has turned into something incredibly simple, but effective during the colder months when everything is closed up and air circulation is limited. I do try to open my windows, but I will crush several cloves of garlic and add them to a pot of hot water on the stove, just letting it gently simmer. And as that steam rises, it carries the compounds from the garlic into the air. So it's not overpowering if you do not go overboard, but it is noticeable. And there's something about it that feels grounding and intentional, especially when you're in those winter months and you're looking back into the garden. For me, I grow a ton of garlic and it gets me through the winter season. So crushing up garlic to steam distill, it reminds me of my garden, and I don't mind the aroma at all. It's almost like I feel the healing from it. You can also take this a step further and use it more directly. So if someone is dealing with congestion or that heavy feeling in their chest, sitting near a bowl of hot water with crushed garlic and allowing the steam to rise can feel incredibly supportive. So it is a very old practice, and it is not about forcing anything, right? It's about creating an environment where your body can respond and open up naturally. So returning to our roots. And what I like about this approach is that it does not rely on synthetic fragrances, plugins or products that are trying to mask something. It is simple, it is direct, and it, again, works with your body rather than overwhelming it. It is also something you can do immediately with what you already have in your kitchen, which again is something I value. I value easy, I value simple. And there is even another layer to this that I think people overlook, and that is how much our environment affects how we feel. So on my homestead, especially in the winter, my home becomes my entire world for stretches of time when it's gray outside and cold. The air you breathe and the smells around you, the atmosphere created, all of it matters. So bringing something like garlic into that space in a purposeful way shifts it from being passive to being intentional and incorporated. This is not about claiming that garlic in the air is going to solve anything. It is about stacking simple, supportive practices that work together for you or your pets. So fresh air when you can get it, clean living spaces, nourishing food, and then something like this layered in, something that has been used for generations and continues to show up because it serves a purpose. Seriously, garlic is amazing. And the last piece I want to talk about is resilience, because this is where garlic really earns its place as something more than just a food or a remedy. When you plant garlic, you are planting something that will give back to you in multiple ways. And knowing how to do it properly makes all the difference. It is one of the first things I planted when I moved to my homestead because it's so easy. Garlic is typically planted in the fall, a few weeks before the ground freezes. So on my homestead, that's usually around sometime in October, depending on the weather patterns that year, which I keep track of. You start by breaking a bulb into individual cloves, keeping the papery skin intact on each clove. So each clove becomes a new plant, which is something I think is so powerful in and of itself. You are taking one thing and turning it into many. So a clove into a bulb. So you plant each clove pointed side up about 2 inches deep and spaced a few inches apart in well-drained soil. So after planting, you cover the bed with a layer of mulch, often straw, to insulate it through the winter. I've done trimmed up leaves because in the fall, that's when the leaves fall from the trees. So I've used that as mulch. Right now, I just use some wool for my sheep as mulch. I also use grass trimmings as mulch. You can get creative here. Just be careful. You don't want to use like wood chips that have been treated or hay that has been sprayed or straw that has been sprayed. Just be mindful of what you're using for mulch because that will also seep into your soil. But after you've planted, then comes the waiting, which is something homesteading teaches you over and over again. Through the cold months, those cloves are quietly developing roots beneath the surface, and nothing looks like it is happening, but everything is happening. So when spring arrives, green shoots begin to push through the soil, and you start to see the result of something you did months before, and that feeling is so cool. And garlic is relatively low maintenance, which makes it ideal for a system that values efficiency and sustainability. And by midsummer, the lower leaves begin to brown and dry, which is your signal that harvest is near. I'm reliving these steps in my head, and I'm getting so excited for when I get to pull my garlic this year. When this time comes around, you just gently pull the bulbs from the soil, taking care not to damage them, and then you cure them in a dry, well-ventilated space for a few weeks. And this curing process allows the outer layers to dry and protects the bulbs for long-term storage. That's how I get garlic through the winter. And what you end up with is something that can last months. So something that can be replanted, something that can be used in countless ways. That is resilience. It is not about having one solution for one problem. It is about having something that strengthens multiple parts of your life at once. What's really neat is the garlic that I planted my first year here, I'm planting the next generations of it still years later because I save cloves from each harvest and then replant those cloves. And from this, I've also taught my dad how to do garlic, and now he even outdoes me on garlic because it is so easy. As I sit here and think about everything garlic has done for me and my homestead, it is hard to put into words just how much respect I have for something so simple. It has supported my animals. It has supported my garden. It has supported me. And it has done all of this without needing to be reinvented or rebranded or resold to me. So if there's one thing I hope you take from this, it is that you do not need to overlook the simple things. You do not need to assume that because something is common, it is not powerful. Sometimes the most powerful tools are the ones that have been quietly waiting for you to notice them again. Garlic is not just an ingredient. It is not just something you chop up and toss into a meal. It is something that can weave its way through your life in ways that make you feel, again, more connected, more capable, and more confident in your ability to care for yourself, for your animals, and for your land. And once you start seeing it that way, you will never look at a clove of garlic the same again. And remember, they cannot patent garlic. They do not want you to know any of this. Why? Because garlic is so easy to grow. Garlic is multi-purpose, and they cannot sell it to you. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I loved diving into garlic, and I hope that you learned something. You can let me know down below, and I will see you next time. Thank you again so much for spending your time here, and have an amazing day. Bye.